My daughter Abigail turned 1 year old last week, and yep, there's the Oz. And she's gotten really mobile in the last couple of months. She crawls everywhere and really, really fast. It takes a lot to keep up with her. And as long as she can keep her hand on something, she stands up along furniture, walls, staircases, and sort of walks along them, just keeping her balance with one hand. And it's really forced my wife, Carrie, and I to construct all kinds of barricades around the house, whether it's by staircases or garbage cans or the bathroom, because everybody knows one-year-old little girls love to stand by the toilet and feel that water and put their hand in there. She just did it tonight, actually, before I left. And, you know, as you might guess, Abigail hates it when we do this. I mean, she wants to go where she wants to go, and she wants to do what she wants to do. She thinks she's really independent. She doesn't like when we put limits on her freedom. But what she fails to realize is that in putting limits on her life, we're actually allowing her to experience more freedom. Freedom to live healthy and injury-free. I mean, freedom just to stay alive. Because if that little girl ever climbed up one of those staircases when we're not looking and fell down, they probably wouldn't be too good. And we're not all that different from little Abigail. Because as human beings, we hate when limits are put in our life, right? I mean, we hate to be disciplined. We think true freedom is actually the absence of the limits that discipline sort of puts on our lives. But as we'll see tonight, the book of Proverbs tells us a much different story. In fact, Proverbs says that discipline is actually necessary. We need certain limits placed on our life in order to be free to live according to our purpose. Okay, you can imagine some pretty obvious examples of this throughout everyday life, right? You can think of the musician, right? You just saw these guys up here. If they don't discipline themselves to practice their craft, they're not going to play those instruments with skill and elegance, right? They're not going to live the purpose that they're supposed to live. You can think of the athlete, right? The NFL draft is going on tonight. Some of the best athletes in the world. If those guys don't discipline themselves to train, they're not going to be able to live out the purpose that they're supposed to do in football. I think of students, right? You guys, coming up to finals here, if you don't discipline yourself to study, you're not going to be able to live out that purpose of learning, right, and amassing knowledge. So the big idea for tonight is discipline rewards you with a life of purpose. Okay? Discipline rewards you with a life of purpose. Now, the greatest purpose that every single one of us was created for was to know God and enjoy Him forever. We need proper limits placed in our lives in order to do this. So we're going to sort of attack this topic of being disciplined by wisdom by asking some questions and then answering those to kind of color in this subject. So the first question I want to ask is, what is discipline? Because many of us, when we think about that word discipline, our mind kind of goes back to when we were little kids and we got disciplined or punished by our parents for doing something wrong. And that can be discipline, right? If you don't submit to wisdom and you act like a fool, you're left to the consequences of those decisions. You sort of punish yourself by your foolish decisions. But discipline actually means to teach or to instruct. Okay, it doesn't mean to punish. So to be disciplined would be to receive or to submit to teaching or instruction. And in fact, when Jesus uses that word disciple, right, He calls His 12 disciples at the beginning of the three synoptic gospels. Disciple means learning follower, right? They're teachable. They're learning followers of Jesus Christ. And as we saw earlier, true freedom is the presence. It's not the absence of this discipline that we're talking about, this teaching or this instruction. So if we're going to be disciplined by wisdom, where does wisdom come from? Right? That's probably the next logical question to ask. Well, Proverbs 9:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So God is the ultimate source of all wisdom. Great starting point for us tonight. Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." So to have a proper reverence and awe of God is really the starting point of being disciplined or being taught by wisdom to live out our purpose. So follow this connection here. We're taught or we're disciplined by God through wisdom. The result is that we come to know God. We come to enjoy Him through that. And that, as we said, is our purpose for living. So many of us don't make this connection between knowing God and being disciplined, but I want you to see the direct connection here, right? Because some people would say, well, I want to fear God. And I'll say, okay, stop sleeping with your girlfriend. You say, well, I don't want to. Well, you can't have it both ways, right? You can either have it your way, right? Or you can submit to those absolutely necessary limits that God puts on our life. Now, if we're going to be disciplined by wisdom, we need to acquire wisdom, of course. So how do we get wisdom? Proverbs answers this, of course, as well. So Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to my wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What we talked about is our purpose for living, to know God. So how do you get wisdom? You actively seek it. You actively seek it. And once you get it, you guard it. Proverbs 4:13 says, keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. So wisdom, it's not the only way that we make progress in living out our purpose in this life and then hopefully in eternity, but it's life itself, Proverbs says. So anything so essential to living out the purpose we've been created for, man, we better actively go after it, right? We better guard it with everything we've got. The proper attitude toward wisdom is actually to crave it, right? To crave to be disciplined by wisdom. Sounds really sort of countercultural and even contrary to our nature, but I think the reason why is because we rarely think that being disciplined by wisdom is going to give us what we want, right? We think it's actually going to restrict us from the things that we want to get out of life. You know, I can remember coaching in college, and inevitably we would have multiple guys like this on our team in college every year, and we'd have the kid who couldn't for the life of him pass an entry-level general studies class, but he could memorize a 200-page playbook and execute every single play in there to the T, right? So just to give you a window into this, here's an example of one of our plays from when I was at Louisville. Shift to halfback, twin right open, swap 72, all go special halfback, shallow cross, wide open. Okay, that's one play. Now, it's actually more like 5 to 10 because based on what the defense does, there's going to be variations of that play. So multiply that times 200 pages, okay? He could be disciplined enough to memorize all that. So you have no excuse for not memorizing scripture, okay? He could be disciplined to memorize all that and then to execute it, to put it into action. Because discipline without action is useless. So it wasn't because he was dumb that he couldn't pass those classes, right? I mean, you look at the results in the football field. He wasn't a dumb guy, right? He could learn. He could memorize. It's because he didn't see the purpose in going to school, right? Learning is not going to give me what I want. What I want is I want success. I want glory for myself. I want attention. And success in football is going to give me that. So guess what? I'm going to be disciplined in that. And it's really similar to us in a lot of cases. Oftentimes, we refuse to receive instruction and be disciplined because we just don't see the purpose in it. And I'm telling you, the purpose is the greatest purpose you could ever live for. And it's one that's going to transcend this life and go on forever. And that's to know and enjoy God forever. So let's talk some application. We're going into summer. Right? Summer, a lot of times, is sort of a time where we kind of take the foot off the gas pedal, right, in our walk with God, and we kind of put it on cruise control, right? Take a step away from our faith. It's a time to go on vacation. It's a time to relax. But I don't want it to be like that for us, because I want us to live for the purpose that we've been created for, to be fulfilled through that. So before the semester ends, I would challenge every single person in here to make a spiritual discipline plan for yourself. Okay, so I've got 6 things here, and it could be more, but let's just start with these 6. Read the Bible every day, and I would suggest start with Proverbs, okay? You heard this verse here, that we just read from chapter 2. It says, yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasures. I read that last semester, reading through the book of Proverbs, and I thought to myself, man, he's saying that we got to go after wisdom constantly. And so what I started doing is, I just started reading 10 verses of Proverbs every single week. It was in a different book of the Bible for the majority of my alone time, but just 10 verses of Proverbs every single week, just to constantly feed my mind with wisdom. And then just pick out one point of application that you're going to try to actually live out that week. So read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Memorize scripture every single week, right? Find a gospel-centered church to attend every week this summer, wherever you are. Make that one of the first things you do when you get to your destination this summer. Join a small group for the summer. And if the church doesn't have one, be bold enough, take a step of faith, and start one on your own. And then the last one I would say is find a spiritual mentor. Meet with somebody on a pretty regular basis who's a little bit older than you, a little bit wiser than you, and probably in a phase of life that's one step beyond yours. And just listen and ask really good questions. And just absorb that wisdom. So just remember this now. Thinking back to that illustration, the regular practice of these spiritual disciplines, of receiving this wisdom and being taught by them, being transformed by them, it's not about your intelligence level or your competence, right? Remember that playbook illustration? It's about you seeing the purpose in them and hopefully desiring that purpose in them, right? To know God fully, right? To experience Him for all He is and be fulfilled in the deepest parts of your heart and soul through that. So now that we know how to get wisdom, what's the effect of being disciplined by wisdom? Well, Proverbs 3:13-18 says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." As we're sort of reading through these passages in Proverbs, just keep in mind how Drew ended his message last week. What did he say was the greatest piece of wisdom that's available to us, that God's ever given us? Jesus Christ, right? So when the writer of Proverbs says, "Nothing you desire can compare with her," I mean, ultimately, that all goes back to Jesus Christ. He is life, right? Long life is in her right hand. That's Jesus Christ. She is a tree of life, right? You can kind of think of salvation, eternal life in that, right? Just keep that in the back of your mind as we're reading passages like that. So what he's saying in this passage is, listen, living abundant life that culminates in heaven with God, that's the result of being disciplined. That's the effect of being disciplined by wisdom right now. It's the life that God has promised to everyone who's trusted in Him. Now, the flip side of that, the writer of Proverbs also talks about. Proverbs 19:27, "Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." So rejecting discipline leads to disobedience, to an absence of the knowledge of God. Right? Because anybody who truly knows God follows God, obeys Him. And it's not out of obligation. It's out of desire. It's out of a love affair. How about Proverbs 15:10? "There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die." So we talked about this a little bit when we defined discipline. Discipline is to receive teaching and instruction for the wise. But for the fool who rejects that wisdom, what he's saying right here is you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your foolish decisions. And that could feel like punishment. And he's even saying, whoever hates reproof will die. It could mean that you prematurely physically die, but it will certainly mean that if you continue over and over and over again to reject wisdom, you're going to experience an eternal death, a spiritual death. He's saying, listen, it's one thing to sin and then find forgiveness in Jesus Christ, okay? There's no problem with that. But it's another thing to just continually turn your back on the discipline that wisdom brings in our life. So If being disciplined by wisdom leads to the abundant life and knowing God fully, enjoying God fully, how can I be disciplined by wisdom? How can I be disciplined by wisdom? Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. So what is he saying there? He's saying, well, you actually act on the wisdom that's available to you, right? We said earlier, I mean, discipline and wisdom are good, but they're no good if there isn't any action that accompanies it, right? You submit to the teachable moments in your life. And believe me, there are plenty of them. Listen to Proverbs 1:20 through 21. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, in other words, how foolish ones, will you love being simple? Will you love being foolish? How long, scoffers, will you delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? He's saying, listen, there's teachable moments all over your life. Stop ignoring them and stop refusing to submit to them. So, what do these look like, right? I mean, when I read this, it just clicked. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. And I didn't really know what that meant. I kind of looked up in a commentary and it said, listen, there are moments all over your life, hundreds of them, every single week, every single month, where you can submit to the discipline of wisdom and be conformed to Jesus Christ and be further to living out your purpose to know God. And you just got to stop and be able to recognize them. So teachable moments generally come in two ways in our lives, okay? Generally, they come in two ways. One, you're sort of exposed to a piece of wisdom, and then sometime after, usually a short time after, an opportunity arises for you to submit to that wisdom, right? You guys have probably seen this, right? Usually, it's in the area that you're struggling with sin, right? If you're struggling with lust, right, you know some of those pieces of wisdom, right? 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. And then what happens a day later or 2 days later or a week later? You're tempted in that area. And you have the chance to submit to that wisdom or to turn your back on it. So Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. One of my biggest sin struggles is patience. I am quick to anger. And I've tried to bring that before God to transform that. But I know that. Okay, that's one of my memory verses, as well as James, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. I know those pieces of wisdom. So guess what happens? You know what happens to me a lot of times? My plans are thrown off. Okay? And a lot of times this happens in the form of being stuck in traffic. Now, if you could ever imagine passive road rage, okay? I don't verbally like swear at people and flip people off and honk my horn, but inside my car, I'm glad it's soundproof because there is a lot going on in there, okay? A lot of anger and a lot of rage going on in there in traffic, okay? When I get stuck in traffic, all bets are off, okay? And it's a problem, right? But since I've started to submit this to God, by his grace, I've been improving in this area. And so you guys know what it's like to come up against that moment of temptation, right? For me, it's patience. For me, it's last fall. Man, I just worked 10 hours in the concession booth. It's my day off. I want to get home and I want to lay on the couch and eat pizza. And guess what happens? There's 5,000 cars lined up on 80 going home, right? And that's the last thing I want to do. So in that moment, right, where that temptation is just rising, I'm about to burst out in anger. I can choose to walk away from that and to submit to this wisdom of being slow to anger, or I can just give in to that. Okay, guys, let's talk about lust. How strong is that temptation? Sometimes it seems like it's absolutely undefeatable, right? It's impossible to overcome it. But in that moment where that temptation of lust is so strong, you feel like there's no other option to give in to it, at that moment, when you turn your back on it and you submit to wisdom, at that moment when I turn my back in anger and submit to patience, it's God's grace colliding with your heart in that moment. He's what enables you, what empowers you to submit to wisdom. Now, that's the first sort of way that teachable moments come into our life. The second is, and you guys are probably familiar with this too, things in life don't go as planned or as you'd like them to, right? It's important to recognize that this is discipline from God, but you have to know, okay, three things about discipline from God. It's always done out of love, it's always grounded in His grace, and it's always for the purpose of making you more like Jesus. So, what does this look like in my life? Well, I stood up here about a month ago now. Some of you guys were here for it, preached on Jose, and I talked about how I incurred this horrible injury that I haven't been able to rehab, that's taken powerlifting, one of the things I love doing most, out of my life. Okay? Life did not go as I planned. Happened right before World Championships, and it's totally taken that area of my life away. Well, the right approach in that is to search for God's purpose in it. To believe that God is not angry with you in times like that, that He's not punishing you in times like that, but rather that He's trying to teach you something, something that's going to help you know Him and enjoy Him. Now, there's two wrong approaches to those times of discipline in your life as well. One, take it lightly and just turn your back on the teachable moment, right? Pretend that God's not trying to do anything in your heart through that. And the other one is you just lose heart and you refuse to see it as God's love. You take a really defeated attitude and you feel like, man, God's against me. God's punishing me. God's angry with me. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who loves him, him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights." That's love. That's intimate. That's personal. That's care. That's for your good. That's not punishment. So back to my illustration. Horrible injury. Told you guys. Questioned God. Doubted Him for weeks. Wrestled with Him for a while. And finally submitted to the wisdom in this and searched for God's purpose in it. And here's one of the pieces of wisdom He brought to me. Psalm 16:11. "You make known to me the path of life. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Don't go to powerlifting or anything else of this world for ultimate joy. That is absolute foolishness, and you'll never be satisfied in it. Wisdom is a gift of grace from God. We're disciplined by wisdom. Therefore, we're disciplined by grace. Titus 2:11 to 12 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us or teaching us or disciplining us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." It's God's grace, often in the form of wisdom, that trains us or teaches us to know Him and follow Him. When we think of that word discipline, often our mind goes to effort or performance, right? Or earning our way to God. But you got to throw that out, because God's discipline is always grounded in His grace, His unmerited favor toward us. Now, if you submit to the teachable moments of life, if you're disciplined by wisdom, what are some of the results? Here's the last question we'll answer, and just sort of look at some of the tangible value of wisdom. And I'm just going to warn you guys. Drew had 17. I've got 23 tonight. I'm just kidding. I don't have nearly that many. Okay, I broke it down into three categories. Guys, if you read the book of Proverbs this summer, there's hundreds you could put in here. Okay, I've got 9 for you. Okay, we're going to keep this relatively short. We'll land the plane soon. So I broke this down into three categories. First one is just daily life. Okay, what are some of the tangible values you can get out of submitting to discipline in your daily life? Let's start with money. Everybody loves that one, right? Financial security. Proverbs 21:17. "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." And then pair that with Proverbs 24:27. "Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house." Okay, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't live a life of luxury. Live simple, buy the necessities, and don't spend money that you don't have. Okay? There's no reason for any single person in this room when you get out of college to buy a brand new house or to buy a brand new car. okay? Debt is one of the worst things that you can get yourself into in this life. Proverbs speak to that as well. So financial security. How about this one? Your plans are always accomplished. How many of you guys are planners, organizers, disciplined by nature? A lot of you guys, right? I mean, that's me too. So I hate when my plans go awry. And here's the good news. You can live a life where your plans are always accomplished. Okay? Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So what's the key to that one? When you follow God's will and not your own, in other words, when you submit to this discipline, you're never disappointed when your plans are crushed because God's will can never be stopped. How about this one? Divine protection. Proverbs 2, 9 through 12. This is right after he talks about go after wisdom with everything you got. It's the most valuable thing there is. He says, if you do that, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. So he's saying, listen, you're not going to experience the negative consequences that come with just being naive in life, right? Just kind of making some cavalier, foolish, naive decisions. You're not going to experience any of those negative consequences. And on top of that, God's going to protect you from temptation and from evil outside of you. Okay? That's pretty huge. Let's talk about identity. How many want a good self-image? I think everybody wants a good self-image, right? How about Proverbs 8, 32 to 35? And now, sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Your self-image is always intact because you're totally accepted by the only one that matters, the creator of this universe, the one who spoke and the heavens were made and the stars were made and the seas and everything in this world. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. How about a clear conscience? That'd be nice to have. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So he's saying, listen, your words and actions match all the time. Your life in secret is the same as your life in public. Nobody can sort of hold accusations over your head about your moral character. Your conscience is always clear. Last one for identity. You don't have to fight for the approval of others. This kind of goes with the first one. Proverbs 12:16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. When people try to tear you down with their words, your identity is not crushed because your identity is not based on other people. What's it based on? Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You just want favor from the Lord. You're not ultimately concerned with the favor of other people. Okay, last category. How about the state of your heart and mind? Let's start talking about some stuff that gets a little bit more eternal here. How about never having to fear? Proverbs 3:24, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Physical danger, don't have to worry about it. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. Even if you die today, you're going to heaven forever. Uncertain future, God is sovereign. He's good. You don't have to worry about that. He has the best plan for your life that you could possibly imagine. Evil or spiritual danger, as long as you have faith in Christ, sin and evil cannot triumph over you. Can't harm you in any way. How about contentment? You're always satisfied. You're not constantly searching for the next best thing to satisfy you or to identify you or to give you pleasure. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. He rests satisfied. Doesn't matter how much money you have or how little you have. Doesn't matter how big or how little your house is, how fast or slow your car is. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, if you have a husband or wife, if you have a lot of friends or not a lot of friends, if you have a job that you love or not a job that you love, you're always content. Doesn't matter if your life doesn't work out exactly the way you thought it would or you wanted it to. You are content. How about free of regret? This is the last one, and then we'll start to land this plane. Proverbs 5, 11 through 14, and then we'll skip to 23. And at the end of your life, he's talking about the fool here, the guy who's rejected wisdom for his whole life. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. And then here's the result of it. Skip to 23. He dies. This guy that hated discipline his whole life, he dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he's led astray. He's saying, listen, if you submit to discipline, make that the pattern of your life, you don't have to experience the guilt, the pain, the regret of the foolishness that leads to sin. Now, this can be said of any sin, right? Any sin plus a hatred for discipline, in essence, equals destruction. But it's interesting in this chapter, Proverbs chapter 5. You know what this is all about? This is about sexual sin. Sexual sin is the sin that he uses to highlight the destruction that comes to those who hate discipline. Maybe he uses it because it's probably the most personal, intimate, deepest way a person's heart can be crushed and filled with regret and guilt and shame. He's saying, you don't want to experience that? Just submit to the discipline of wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 2, 5 through 8 as we close here. This is what the writer says. So now remember, this is right after he says, listen, actively go after wisdom. Starting in verse 5, he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, what we've been talking about all night. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. So in verse 7, when he says he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, the actual Hebrew word for sound wisdom is translated salvation. He stores up salvation for those who submit to his discipline. He stores up eternal life. Now, you're only going to know God and fully enjoy him if you submit to the greatest piece of wisdom that God's ever given us. We talked about it last week. We talked about it earlier tonight. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus Christ became wisdom for us in order to redeem us, to reclaim us as his possession, protect us, love us, keep us, to make us righteous. In other words, to close that relational gap between us and God. And then to sanctify us, to increase our joy in this life by making us more like himself. Now, if you have the discipline to submit to that piece of wisdom, to Jesus Christ, the reward is an eternal life of purpose. It goes on forever. The greatest purpose you can ever live now, and it lasts forever. And it's the greatest satisfaction, and it's the greatest peace, and it's the greatest joy, it is the greatest relationship you could ever be a part of. And all it takes is faith. Just believe. Because in essence, what is faith? Depending on something outside of you. That's what we've talked about all night. Submission, right? Being teachable. Having a humble heart. To let go of control and follow somebody else's instruction. And that instruction is always for your good. Trust in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think part of the danger with talking about being disciplined by wisdom is that, as we said tonight, it's only good if there's action that follows it, God. So I pray, Lord, that every single soul in this building tonight would lean heavily on your grace, Lord. because your discipline, your teaching, your sanctification of us in this wisdom, it's based on your grace. It's based on your unmerited favor toward us that we don't deserve. Humble our hearts to be able to receive that, to empower us, to just let go. And when those teachable moments in life come along, to let go and not want to do the impulse thing, to give in to anger, to give in to lust, or whatever it is, God. But to just submit, to just sort of throw up the white flag and surrender for our own good to you, God, to Jesus Christ. Give us a desire, Lord, to live more and more for this ultimate purpose of knowing you fully, of enjoying you forever. Would that be where our desires are placed, God? Help us not place them in ourselves and our own will and things of this world, but help us place them in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.